Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Join us now for the Bible Institute of the Air. Welcome to another broadcast of the Bible Institute of the Air, coming to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Today we're continuing our studies on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Here's our teacher, Mr. Steve Hankins, professor of Bible at Bob Jones University.
In our last study on living in the power of the Spirit, we continued to discuss John chapter 16, verses 5 through 15. We've considered now already verses 5 through 7 that discuss the Spirit's presence as solving the problem of Christ's absence. We have not been left alone by the Lord Jesus. We then went on to discuss in verses 8 through 11 the Spirit's ministry through the believer to the world. When the Spirit indwells the believer, that believer will then carry on a ministry of bringing to a place of conviction people who don't know Christ so they'll repent and turn to Him. Today I'd like us to look at verses 12 through 15 in this passage. I think to fully appreciate the message of the passage, it would again be wise for us to read right from the beginning, verse 5, and continue right on through verse 15. Jesus said, "But now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you asketh me, Whither goest thou? Because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you." These closing verses in this passage, verses 12 through 15, do discuss the Spirit's ministry of instruction to the believer. We learn, interestingly, that the Lord Jesus did not teach his disciples everything that they would be taught when he was alive during his earthly ministry. Verse 12 and the first part of verse 13 says, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." There were things that the apostles really were not able, by their experience, to fully understand or to grasp. I'm the father of several young children. Sometimes I try to explain something to my children that they just don't have enough experience in life yet to understand. They can't handle it. In fact, there are some parts of life that are difficult, that are hard, that if I told them they would face those things in the future, the stresses and the problems of life, they would become tremendously discouraged. Their minds can't understand at times, and at other times their heart, their emotions, couldn't bear up under the pressure of the trials that would be facing them in the future that face us all. Jesus said to his disciples, "I have many things I want to tell you, but you're not able to bear them at this point." In mercy, the Lord Jesus was not telling his disciples all that would face the church. In wisdom, he was not teaching them everything because they would not be able in their human thinking to understand all that he had to say. But with the sending of the Holy Spirit of God, he would be able to give them more instruction, instruction that they would understand. As verse 13a says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." I think it's important to understand that this statement is, first, a reference to the ministry of the apostles and their associates who wrote the New Testament scriptures. There was a great deal more truth to be actually written down than was present in the Old Testament scriptures. An example of this is Paul's statement in 1 Corinthians 7:12, where he's discussing marriage and divorce and remarriage. He makes the comment, "But to the rest speak I, not the Lord." He had determined to add some instruction under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that Jesus had not given during his public ministry concerning remarriage and divorce. We can say that the Spirit's guiding the disciples into all truth was a way of Jesus saying that he approved of, ahead of time, the scriptures that they would write, that those scriptures would be truth, not falsehood. It's right to say, too, that the opening phrase in verse 13, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth," is certainly a reference to the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the mind and in the heart of the believer. Not to give that believer new truth and revelation that's not found in the Bible, but to give that believer a right understanding and perception of what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 say these words, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." The searching of the deep things of God is a direct reference to the Scriptures. Our natural eye, our natural ear, and even our imagination has not ever been able to imagine what God has prepared for us as Christians. It is only as the Spirit of God increases our understanding that we're able, through the Word of God, to understand the tremendous privileges and benefits of being a child of God. We're taught in the last part of verse 13, extending to the end of this passage, that not only does the Spirit of God teach us things that Christ did not, but the Spirit of God is actually subordinate to Christ in this ministry. The fact that he has more instruction to give us doesn't make him more important or better than the Lord Jesus Christ. The latter part of verse 13 says, "For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." He will not speak on his own initiative, we're told. He shall not speak of or by himself. He will be prompted and encouraged to by the Lord Jesus. He will reveal things in the future, we are told. And certainly the New Testament is a testimony to that. By some estimates, 20% of the New Testament's contents is about the future. A full 87% of the book of Revelation concerns the future beyond the church age. The Spirit of God certainly has, through the New Testament, revealed future things. He speaks on the initiative of Christ. He reveals much about the future, far distant. And he glorifies Christ by revealing these things. Verse 14 states, "He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you." The Spirit of God's objective is to glorify Christ. That means to cause people to think highly of Christ, to magnify him, to show him in all his majesty and his great glory and his great wisdom. There is in the Spirit's ministry a focus on Christ. We could call that a Christological focus. The Spirit of God is preoccupied with the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to know him. He wants us to serve him and follow him. I think the way to understand this relationship between the Spirit and the Lord Jesus and the Father, as is presented in verse 15, is simple. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. We know that the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all God, that they are in their character and their nature all God. And yet, within the Trinity, the Spirit's responsibility is to respond to what Christ gives him from the Father to reveal to men, in order that men may understand, may accept the Lord Jesus Christ in all of his glory and all of his working. We're told in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, as Paul prayed a prayer there for the Ephesian Christians, that they would be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. The ministry of the Spirit of God as he indwells us is to make us strong in our thinking, in our feeling, in our conscience, in our decision-making power, in our ability to trust Christ, to believe that Christ is with us every moment of the day, that he is willing to lend his aid, to give us the power to live as we ought to live and do what we ought to do. The Spirit's ministry is one of magnifying Christ in our lives. It's appropriate for us to ask a probing question, I think, each of us of ourselves. As the Spirit of God has worked in me, am I magnifying Christ? Am I being reshaped into his image? Am I learning great things of his great power and his great majesty and love? Do I have a greater sense today of his compassion for me and his presence with me? We are to believe that Christ dwells in our hearts by faith. We simply trust that that's true. We don't wait for a feeling. We don't wait for a vision. We don't wait for a dream. But by the Spirit of God, we gain a new capacity to trust that it's true.
We want to thank Mr. Steve Hankins, professor of Bible at Bob Jones University, for today's study on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. If your personal Bible study has become haphazard and you've lost interest in Bible reading, then you'll be interested in reading the booklet, Methods of Bible Study. In this booklet, Dr. Stuart Custer, chairman of the Division of Bible at Bob Jones University, offers 14 practical ways you can systematically study God's Word. This booklet can help you get back on the road to a rewarding walk through the inexhaustible truths found in the Bible. Write today for your free copy of this helpful booklet, Methods of Bible Study. Just send your name and address to the Bible Institute of the Air, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Again, that address is Bible Institute of the Air, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. You won't want to miss a single broadcast in this series, so make a note of this time, Monday through Friday. The Bible Institute of the Air is a presentation of Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614.